Let's face it, the old way of coaching and then hoping your reps use your coaching goes out the window with Balto. Every day your reps get coaching during calls, and you get data to show you how to give even better coaching that increases sales. You can use that data and make coaching changes that go to every rep with the push of a button. It's very next level. You can see how Balto works at balto.ai/product-tour. Let's get dialed in. You're dialing in to the All Things Telesales Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Lynn. If the phone is your weapon, this is your podcast. We're changing the perception of telesales. We're a tribe of telesales professionals who believe in compassion before commission. We're empowering the call coaching experience by starting with the person and salesperson. When we take care of the person, the calls take care of themselves.
All right, welcome to All Things Telesales. I got Mike Acker. He's a speaker, leadership coach, and best-selling author with over 19 years of experience in speaking, leadership development, organizational management. And for the ones that are audio listening, he is in a sports jacket because he does work with some CEOs and high-level executives. Welcome to the show, Mike. What's up?
Jake, it's awesome to be here with you this morning. Looking forward to diving in. And we find that we had a little Southern connection before we started the podcast. So it's always fun to hear a little bit of that.
Yeah. So, you just landed your feet in Alabama here. I'm originally from Kentucky. And you spent some time in California. So that's where I'm at now. So it's weird. Our paths haven't crossed just yet, except for here on Zoom.
Yeah, trading spots from west to the south right there.
Yeah, I know. Now I got this song by Usher in my head, Trading Places. So. It's all good. So, man, so as a way of getting started, tell the telesales beast a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I have a fun story of one of those career paths that you never thought you went in would go on. So I went from law school over to ministry, did ministry for a good long time. And then from that, ended up coaching a lot of business leaders, launching other kind of organizations that feed the poor in Mexico and in Senegal, which is in West Africa. But then through that, I've ultimately got to a spot where I was coaching on the side, just kind of one of those side hustles where you're helping people out. And people seek you out for an expertise that you have. So I did that. And then I got recruited to do sales, which brings us here. So I did veterinary sales, where you're selling veterinarians on anything and everything that they could potentially need. So sometimes you're making a $2 sale on a bottle of shampoo, and other times you're making a $40,000 sale on some X-ray machine. But I kept on doing my side hustle. And eventually it just became that spot where, which one are you going to do? Are you going to dive in or are you going to close us down? And just looking at it, my wife said, hey, I would love to move down to my family. And I said, let's dive in. Let's just go for this. So now my sales is more selling myself, selling my workshop, selling my books, selling all the different things that we offer to people, whether that's on the phone, whether that's in person, whether that's on Zoom, selling people, but ultimately hoping. And this is what I loved about your whole tagline, compassion before commission. We never want to do something that we don't believe in.
Yeah, come on, man. Yeah, you got a ministry background. You're preaching on this podcast today, bro. Let's do this. I got a ministry background too. Some of the beasts know that I was a Christian rapper back in the day, bro. Like,
nice.
Yeah
nice. Now I'm gonna have to look that up, Jake.
Just type my name alongside the word Christian rap and you'll find me at the top of Google.
Nice. I love it. Yeah. I have no background in Christian rapping or any type of rapping or any type of singing at all.
Right. But preaching, man, you can do that. I can tell.
I did that for a good long time.
Yeah, that's good. Man. So sometimes we got to switch a destination. Like sometimes things happen and our passions change and our direction changes, right? Like, You seem to be a guy that helps people determine their destination to figure out where they're going. If I'm confused on where I want to go and what my next move is, especially right now, right? Because right now, a lot of people, even though it's been months and this pandemic, it's still been a challenge for people to find a pivot, like from the field and it, like especially insurance, right? Where they're face to face. And now then they used to go door to door you know, go travel at the kitchen table and sit down and, you know, slang policies. Now they're trying to figure out how to do this, still trying to figure out how to do this over the phone and do it consistently. And so if I'm struggling trying to make that pivot, make that change, how might you go about helping me?
Yeah, fantastic question. And I have two real thoughts on this. One is you got to know that it's possible, that you can always change where you are to a different destination. Part of the motivational type talk that I give is talking about how my dad was a drug dealer and my mom was a witch and I became a pastor. What?
No way.
And so it's all about decisions. Yeah. It's all about decisions. That the choices that you made in the past may determine where you are right now, but that also means that the choices that you make right now determine the path of where you'll be in the future. And so it's, we know that quote, the choices we make, make us, right?
Right.
And we have that choice right now. So if you're in a spot where you feel stuck, if you're in a spot where you don't know what's going on and you don't know where to go, just know this, that the choices that you choose to make right now can have these completely radical, transforming, life-altering effects, just like the story of my dad and my mom turning out to produce a pastor. So you got to first start with that, right? That you know you can. And a lot of people just get stuck in that mindset. So as you mentioned, I wrote several books. The most recent one I wrote with another executive coach. And we talk about how a lot of people get stuck in this victim mindset, that it's what's happening to me. It's what's happening to me. Mm-hmm. And both myself and my co-author, we've worked with burn survivors. And in the book, my co-author, Steve Gutzer, he talks about how he's speaking to these survivors. And he says, man, I can't imagine being a burn victim. And one of the guys comes up to him afterwards and says, excuse me, sir, I just want to let you know, we don't refer to ourselves as victims, but as survivors. And so that becomes this whole premise of, you know, no matter what's happening to you, and COVID's happened to so many people, I mean, it's affecting all of us, but you have that choice right now. And it really starts with a mindset of saying, I can. So in terms of if you're stuck looking for something else, what do I do? First of all, you got to believe that you're not a victim, that you will survive, that you will get through, and that you can thrive. Second part, follow the breadcrumbs. And this is the whole idea of when you're lost, what do? You follow the breadcrumbs from that fairy tale that talks about the kids who are wandering and they leave behind the breadcrumbs, and then that helps them find their way back out, right? Yeah. And so I believe that there's always some breadcrumbs around us. And that's really how I got into my entrepreneurial story. It just, in fact, I was, realistically, I was in California and I was struggling financially. And I was really, really just tight. We needed about $500 a month more for rent and we didn't have it. Mm. And then we had a spot where our AC, central AC, went out and it was 114 degrees in Corona, California.
Oh my gosh.
And our electric bill ended up being $800 because we were still pumping electricity into a broken system. And then we put in window units and then our pipes broke and we had water all over, and water in California is expensive. So all of a sudden we were about $1,800 more than what we could afford. Mm-hmm. So I needed to follow some kind of way. I was stuck. And so I just looked for some breadcrumbs and looked at what skills I had. So what do breadcrumbs look like? Well, what are people asking you for? And people have typically asked me to perform weddings. Yeah. And so I reached out and just said, hey, here's a service I can do for people. Start doing random weddings for people around California, driving around doing weddings just to pay bills. But that turned into now doing some life coaching, and that turned into communication coaching. And so I just kept on following the next breadcrumb, and just seizing that opportunity. A lot of people don't get out of where they're stuck because they'll get the first breadcrumb, which isn't that tasty, and they don't keep on following. But you got to keep on following, and you got to look around for a minute. Sometimes the initial breadcrumbs around you are really, really, really small, so you might miss it. And what are the breadcrumbs that people have around you? I was at that same time when I was in that transition into sales, I was at a gathering with friends, and I just said, man, I might do a change in my career. And one of my friends said, I'd hire you. I said, what do you do? He said, veterinary sales. I said, what? Yeah. He explained the job. And I said, that's a job. And so I followed the breadcrumbs and ultimately ended up in that and did quite well, even while maintaining my side hustle. So if you're stuck, if COVID has shut things down for you, I would start looking around and think, what skills do I have? What do people around me ask me for? What kind of advice do they ask me for? Or what kind of service do they ask me for? What do people see in me? Mm-hmm. And then follow the breadcrumbs of just a routine of reaching out to people and putting yourself out there on the line, and just keep doing that and see where it leads you.
Yeah, that's good. I had a podcast with Coach Gilardi. It reminds me of that podcast that was titled "Even the Crumbs Are Delicious." So, yeah. And it proves the show. We're talking about, you know, ministry and stuff like that. And even the Bible says, our gifts will make room for us, right? So
yeah.
In those challenging times, what was happening was your gifts were making room for you, you know?
Yeah.
And so what are your gifts? You know, I would even add to that is like, if you haven't done it in a couple of years or a couple of months or whatever, think about your gifts. You know, do you have the gift of gab? Then maybe you might want to pivot back into sales, or you might want to, or you enjoy leading people, you know, like, you know, make room through your gifts, you know?
Hey, it's Jake Lynn. I got a quick message from our sponsor. Are you an insurance company? Want to increase your quote rate and close rate? Check out Balto, the number one real-time guidance platform. With Balto, insurance reps sell way more because reps get coaching during every call. There's no more coaching after the call and hoping that your reps use the coaching. There's only more sales. Check out a case study in the show notes to learn how Balto has helped top insurance companies increase sales.
But I'm real curious about, you know, you talked about your parents, man. And, so how did you, how did all of that like produce a pastor, if you will?
Yeah. Well, so sometimes I like to call my dad a pharmaceutical entrepreneur.
Yeah.
He sold drugs.
Right, yeah.
So I think even going back to his story, he followed breadcrumbs. So when he was in college at University of Washington, he didn't have the money to pay his way through. So often that financial stress that we feel can produce really innovative ideas. For my dad, he got some pot and sold it out of the back of his out of his car. And then he realized, man, there's some money in this. And I'm a English major. There's not a lot of money in that. So what do I do here? So he learned how to speak Spanish and he learned how to fly planes so he could go down to Colombia and other places and smuggle drugs back to the United States. And then he got really good at that and built a team, had five planes, crashed two, had several boats, and he already had the gift of being able to sail and to navigate. So he did that and he kept on expanding, did well. And this is before cartels were involved. Met my mom at a party he was selling drugs at, and she was a witch, and she was involved in, I mean, nowadays we don't really use that term in that way, but that's how she would have declared herself. And so they met, and they just did the whole drug smuggling thing, then decided to switch over to a legal form of drugs and started doing coffee in 1978, when Starbucks was getting its going on. So we had a coffee shop in Queen Anne, downtown Seattle, and a coffee brewery, and all things were going well for them. And then they had this radical encounter with God where, you know, whether you listen to this and believe in God or not, they had this radical encounter and they said there's none other than that would be God. And they had it separate from each other, about 6 months separate. They happened to be in Hawaii when it happened to my dad. And so they found out about an organization called Youth with a Mission. They were just outside of youth, right around the latter part of their 20s. And they signed up for it. I was four at the time. So we got involved in that, and that was kind of a mission organization that went and did things around the world. So we did all kinds of things, went to Philippines and Hong Kong and Taiwan. And then we went to China, smuggled Bibles into China when I was 5 years old.
Oh, wow. Went from smuggling drugs to smuggling Bibles, bro. That's awesome.
And then they just chose to settle down and raise us in kind of a small town. And we did that. And at 10 years old, they brought us to Mexico.
and we were missionaries in Mexico. I'm still involved in missions in Mexico, where we feed the poor and we clothe people, which is really, really important right now. So if anybody's looking for a cause to give to, great places in places like Mexico and where tourism is gone, yeah, and the economy's really rough, really rough. So we did that for years. And then I hit one of those moments where you had to make a decision.
Sure.
And so I was enrolled in law school in Mexico. You go straight to law school. You go for 5 years and then you get out of it from there. So I had internships set up. My dad had pivoted into law because he had taken classes when he was in his drug smuggling days.
Right.
So that he could fight the law.
Right.
And so he put it to use while we were there. And so I went into law school and was ready to go. And then I really had this sense of, what am I going to do with my life? Am I going to do it for me or am I going to do it for others? And at that point in time, law school was all about me. It was all about coming out of law school and making a starting income of $150,000 in 2000-ish. So that was my whole drive and motivation. And when I looked at it, I thought, what do I really want to do with my life? I thought I'd rather serve people. And through a series of events, ended up going in and switching over to ministry, and then did that for a long time.
Nice. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. It's one of those, when I do like these motivational speeches, when I was in my 20s, I used to do a lot of camps and conferences, and I would walk up on stage and I would, before anything was said, or I wouldn't say hello or anything, I just walk up and would say, my dad was a drug dealer, my mom was a witch, and I am a pastor. And all the surprise would happen. Right. And then I would talk about the decisions that you make, alter not only your life, but the legacy that you leave behind.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. But, you know, that getting that confidence to get on stage didn't just happen overnight for you, right? Like that confidence to get on a podcast like this, you know, and just we very much just like impromptu, just very improv on the podcast, you know, off the cuff, and none of this is ever scripted, right? And that's what I enjoy most, is even being a guest on podcasts where it's not scripted, you know. But that confidence didn't happen overnight, man. So tell me about that. Like, how do you build up confidence, and where does the confidence come from?
Yeah, absolutely. So I believe that there's a framework for confidence. It's what I use again and again with people. So I have programs on this. I have some books on this. And really, that confidence in communication comes from three sources. It comes from understanding who you are as a speaker. So if you're in sales, you're in communication, you're public speaking on a regular basis, on the phone or in front of people, you're speaking. And so the first source of confidence is really, who are you as a speaker? When you get up in front of people, what is it that anchors you to your values, to your own mission, to your purpose? Often people create a completely different persona in sales. And although that might be a good technique for a while, if it's not anchored in your own personhood, it's going to come back crashing down. So who are you as a speaker? And why that's so important is that when you speak, it's not just what you say, it's actually who you are that matters. You are your message. So the first aspect, the first framework of confidence is simply that. It's simply you, your own identity. The second part is messaging. That confidence comes from understanding what you're saying. But then on the flip side of that same circle, I call these the three circles of confidence. The other side is understanding how they're hearing what you're saying. Are you saying what you're trying to get across in a way that others can pick up? Because if I'm just throwing everything out there, but you have no buckets to pick it up in, it's going to be a hard time for you to understand. And I'm going to feel that. Mm-hmm. And as a result, I'm going to lack confidence. So understanding your message, understanding how people are picking up your message is another aspect of confidence. And then the third part is your skills. So I played soccer in high school, and because I had skills, I could go onto the field and I could feel confident in playing soccer. I never played football because football was not a thing in Mexico. And when I went out to play American football and with some buddies, I didn't have any confidence. I didn't want to say, hey, throw the ball to me, because I didn't really have any practice. I didn't have skills. As a result, I lacked confidence in football. But if you increase your skills, you'll increase your confidence. So yeah. When I work with people, we work on all three. Let's identify who you are as a message or as an identity, as a speaker. What is your message and how to organize your thoughts and not ramble, how to speak on the fly, systems for processing thought, and then also for developing skills. And there's tons of different skills and techniques. And often people go to that, but that's an external part of confidence. And confidence is deeper than that. It's rooted in all three of these. So the first one, when I first started doing this and I was doing this on the side, it was one of those things that people came to me again and again. Some people who are starting out in sales would say, man, how do you go into these accounts that you don't even know and just start speaking to them? And how do you, and then some business leaders would talk about, how do you speak to your team in such a way that you're not anxious and nervous all the time? So it became this recurring question. So I wrote a book during my spare time at that time at 5 a.m. in the morning. And it was called Speak With No Fear. And it's kind of an anecdotal pep talk with some takeaways. I thought it was funny. I got a one-star review on Amazon out of my 300 plus positive ones. Right. And the person said, mostly yeah. anecdotal pep talk. And I thought, yes.
Yep. And now let me put that in the book description.
Yeah. And you know, it's so funny in sales or any communication, you have people who love you and people who hate you. And I got some people who would say, who came to me, picked up my book at the airport in Minneapolis and called me up, set up a call with me. And he said, Mike, this is my Bible. And then I just read a review yesterday that said, terrible, absolutely worthless. So you're gonna have people who love you and people who hate you.
Yeah.
And if your confidence is anchored in what people think about you, you're always going to be lacking confidence.
Yeah. No, that's great. Yeah. And are you gonna still write books?
I'm sorry, my audio went out for a second.
Are you still gonna write books?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm working on right now.
Exactly.
Called Speak Up. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
I'm not going to let it hold me down to do. I just, my favorite thought in sales when I would go from doctor to doctor was no means next. And always when I got a no, you know, I'm not interested in talking to you. I'm not interested in working with your company. So you get that firm no. Is if you think through that it takes, I don't know, 10 calls to make one sale, then every no, so you get 9 no's, it's like, hey, you know what? I'm almost to my next sale.
Yep.
And that's when that confidence, you know, it's not me they're saying no to. They might think it is, but it's really not. It's whatever they're going on or like fit or message
Right. Yeah. Timing, all that. I like to refer to it as like 3 C's: confidence, conviction, clarity. You know, like your conviction is deep enough, deeply rooted in enough that no matter what anybody says, you're still going to keep writing books. You're still going to keep doing what you feel you're called to do. And you got clarity. You know exactly what you want to do and how you're going to do it. And so confidence, conviction, clarity, it's a beautiful thing, man. And those that have those 3 C's, man, that's a winning recipe right there.
I love that. Oh, that's great. Confidence, clarity, conviction. That conviction is such a huge part. And that's even some of what I talk about in terms of identity. You know, who are you? I'm a firm believer in declarations or affirmations.
Affirmations,
yeah. Probably came from my days as a pastor where I think so much of what we say to ourselves throughout the day is negative.
Yeah.
So I like to fill my mind with positive podcasts, with inspirational talks, with inspirational music. And then I personally practice affirmations every day.
For sure.
And it's one of those things where I look back and didn't even realize I was doing affirmations, but they played some of the biggest roles in my life.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the Bible, man, is full of just affirmations, you know?
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. And funny on that is some people can see it as all the things of what you should not do, but there's so much in there about who you are that is right and that is good and really just anchoring your identity. And for me, when I was part of my story is when I was in Mexico, I got bullied every day. And when I was in 9th grade, I literally walked up and there was a senior, so 3 years older than me, and he's cussing me out every single day. So that was how I started my day. Right. Was someone 3 years older cussing me out, saying you're effing worthless, get effing out of here.
Yeah.
And And I was only American in the school, and
because you're a gringo.
Yeah, I was a gringo, and, right. And I was awkward looking, you know, all yeah. limbs and right. and long blonde hair, so did not fit in many ways. But his words, his no, his rejection mm-hmm. started eating at me. And so you get home and you can only hear no so much if you're not hearing yes, and start internalizing it. So I started internalizing it as, well, maybe I am, maybe I shouldn't be here, maybe I don't belong. It led to this really dark season in life, and where I was experiencing rejection. And then when you experience one rejection that you really hold on to, you start thinking that you're getting rejected elsewhere. So now my mind's in a spiral and I'm seeing rejection all around me. It's so the whole thing, like when you buy a brand new car, you start seeing that car everywhere else.
Yeah.
Now I'm seeing rejection everywhere. So I met with someone that summer. I was at a summer camp and we all had to meet with a counselor as part of it and a licensed psychologist. And she said, basically do affirmations, tell yourself that you like yourself.
Right.
I thought this was the stupidest thing ever. Right. A 15-year-old athletic guy, but yeah. but I knew I had a problem. So I looked in the mirror every single day. And at first I just felt like an idiot. I looked in my mirror and I'd say, I like you. And I used to watch Saturday Night Live all the time. And, you know, there's a right. guy giving the affirmations.
Right? Affirmations, yeah. Yeah, yeah. You were that guy.
Yeah. So, but I would tell myself, I like you. I like who you are.
Yeah.
And that affirmation, daily affirmation, sunk in and got me through some difficult moments.
Yeah.
And really ended up really embracing my life there, so much so that I wanted to go to law school there. Still have yeah. friends there. Love Mexico. Yeah. Love Mexican people.
Yeah.
Some of my best friends are from those days.
Right. Yeah. And I almost think like it's okay to look in the mirror and say, there's some things about me that I want to change. You know, like
yeah.
it's okay to not like certain parts about yourself. If you understand yeah. that it's okay that you need to make those changes. Like, you know, David Goggins got the book Can't Hurt Me. And he talks about, you know, putting post-it notes. Like if you want to lose weight, put how much you want your ideal weight to be on the mirror. So you see it every day. So if there's yeah. things about you that you want to change, put up like a vision board, you know, if there's things that you want to get, yeah. that you want to do. Yes. But so I love it, you know, that positive self-talk. I had no idea we were going in the directions that we were going today. And I'm so glad that we did, you know, we just met on, I think Alex, he's got this little, software out there and that's how we met and, Podmatch or something. Right. So that's pretty
yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so man, I'm definitely grateful for that and having met you today and definitely look forward to connecting with you further. And for anybody that wants to connect with you, Mike, where can people find you?
Yeah, if you type in Mike Acker, and that's Acker like Slacker, so A-C-K-E-R, I'm the first one that pops up on Google. You'll find my books out there. If you're looking for a book on overcoming fear, Speak with No Fear or Lead with No Fear, there's programs that I run. But Mike Acker, just type that in, or MikeAcker.com will lead you right to me.
Nice. Yeah. So if you want to speak with no fear on these phones, you definitely want to pick up that book. Appreciate you today, Mike.
Hey, thanks so much, Jake.
Visit allthingstelesales.com for additional resources that can help you drive more revenue. Did you like today's episode? If so, subscribe so next week's episode will be available for you. And if you really like today's episode, leave a 5-star review. It's a good way to get the word out there. And if not, check out another episode. Maybe then you'll be able to rate the show 5 stars. Anyone you'd like to hear from on the show, send an email to podcast@allthingstelesales.com. I'd love to hear from you. Don't threaten me with a good time.
This episode was off the hook.